We're talking today with Mary Kay Thatcher from the American Farm Bureau's D.C. office. And Mary Kay, new Congress, final years of the Obama presidency, different dynamic, it seems like, that you're dealing with in 2015 than we've had before.
I'm afraid we're still going to have some gridlock. Now, before we had trouble getting the House and the Senate to agree on bills. Now, with Republicans in control of both houses, whether it was Republicans or Democrats, you would get a lot more consensus. So we'll probably be able to pass quite a few bills through the Senate and the House. But the question is, will we be able to get the president to sign them? And I don't know of a single piece of legislation now that the Obama administration would veto that we have 67 or two-thirds majority to override.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's on the Senate side, and really the Senate still is a little gridlocked because we don't have that magic 60 number.
That's right, and that's what you're seeing in the Keystone pipeline vote right now is we probably have 54, 55, 56 votes for it. So some Republicans, a few Democrats, but we don't have the 60. And for many things in the Senate, you have to have 60 votes. Now, I think what will happen then is you'll push a lot of these decisions to the appropriations process where it just has to have 50 votes. That'll take a little maneuvering too, but I think that's probably the likelihood. I think also you're going to have numerous sort of fiscal cliffs this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the first one the end of February when the Department of Homeland Security has to be funded, and that'll take in a lot of the immigration fights. The Highway Trust Fund's going to go bankrupt in May. We're going to reach the debt limit sometime this summer, early September. We already have all those expiring tax provisions that we only did for 1 year. So a lot of these budget issues are going to force them to act by certain dates, and probably those bills get lit up like a Christmas tree.
Right. You mentioned the tax cuts. That really pretty, I don't know, I got some pretty negative remarks coming from the country about that as far as the lack of getting something done there.
Well, they can't plan. Nobody can plan if you don't know what in the heck's going to happen. I don't know how many farmers I had tell me, well, gosh, I got a tractor on hold or a new pickup on hold or whatever, but I got to wait and see if I get Section 179 done. You know, we're operating into the same thing with renewable fuel standards. We're supposed to have had an answer about that quite a few months ago. So Congress is pretty good at putting things off until the last minute when they absolutely have to do it, and I suspect that won't get much better this time. But I do think that there's a little bit of difference this year in that we're going to have a presidential election in 2016, and so generally speaking, you back that up, and what you don't accomplish by August of 2015 is pretty hard to accomplish when you got a dozen people running for president in the first primary a year from now. And so it's going to have to be a pretty action-packed next 7 months if we're going to get a lot of those big-ticket items done.
So it's going to have to get kind of compressed, I guess.
Absolutely, yes. And we got a lot of them. I mean, immigration's still pending. We got a lot of regulations we'd like to work on overturning, all the issues that I already talked about. So, but I think that one message that both the House and the Senate, both Republicans and Democrats, had to take away from this election is that people really do want them to govern. So I have to believe that there's going to be a little more open process, especially in the Senate, and that we'll probably pass some bills, and then, you know, we'll see what the Obama administration does with them.
Got an interesting player there at the Senate Environment Public Works Committee, Mr. Inhofe. He's said pretty clearly he wants to really do something on WOTUS. He really wants to see something to stop WOTUS and what EPA is doing with that. Does he have much of a chance to do so?
Well, I think he's got a lot of votes. Now, again, I'd be surprised if right now he's got 60 votes to do that. I think that will be difficult, and I strongly suspect that Gina McCarthy is getting pretty strong indications from the president, keep pushing forward. So I would guess that this would be one of those issues where you would have to have a two-thirds majority vote in both the Senate and the House to actually accomplish it, unless we can take some of that and be clever enough to attach it to a bill, an appropriations bill, that the president just doesn't want to veto. So, you know, unlike what has happened in previous years where you sort of pass legislation on its own, I think this year you're going to see a lot more packaging of legislation into big packages that make it even more difficult for the president to veto.
Anything different from the two ag committees with these new leaders in place?
Oh, I don't know. I don't see any, like, real massive change in direction. I think you've got a couple, especially on the Senate side, a really experienced guy in Pat Roberts. Mr. Conaway's been around a long time. I think both of them will certainly prioritize overlooking the implementation of the Farm Bill, which is appropriate. You know, it's a big bill. It's a lot of money. Implementation is getting close to being done, so I suspect there'll be a lot of hearings from various sectors of the committee. And then I think they have to also focus certainly on reauthorization of child nutrition, which will likely to be kind of an ugly fight. That bill is not – it's mandated to reauthorize. It's not food stamps. But it gets so close to food stamps, I think it'll be very surprising if we don't have people who say – there wasn't enough changes on food stamps in the last Farm Bill. Let's make some amendments here, too. So that'll be, obviously, just as controversial as it was a year or so ago in the Farm Bill.
It's been talked about two or three times in various meetings and news conferences and whatnot here about how do we defend the pots of money for agriculture that are left, most notably crop insurance. That's the pot of money that maybe is the most significant. How do we mount a defense as appropriations come along?
Well, without a doubt, I think crop insurance, as far as ag programs, has the biggest target on its back, but it's the biggest pot of money, too, so not surprising. And I think that you've seen it coming. You saw people a couple of years away back away from hammering on direct payments when they knew they'd won and they were going to go out the window and move on to the next target, which is crop insurance. So not a surprise, but I think we're going to have to boil it down. We're going to have to get members more involved. I mean, one of the things we've been trying to talk to folks about is when you come on your Washington trip, let's see if you can't sort of equate what you pay in crop insurance premiums with what your wife makes as a school teacher or as a nurse or what your husband makes as a part-time job as a janitor. You know, it's pretty easy to go to members of Congress and say, oh, you know, millions have been spent. But when they deal with millions and billions every day, we think a better message that will stick with them is, personally, how much money am I spending on crop insurance premiums and what do I equate that to as far as other expenses that, you know, the minute you walk away from that member of Congress, they'll remember it. They'll remember the impact on the local farmer.
Right. You know, we saw in the last couple of years during all this Farm Bill fight several areas that were rather interesting, most notably the crop insurance changes, the conservation changes. It seems like we really, and especially in the area of conservation, we kind of slimmed down quite a bit.
Well, there were cutbacks, although I would tell you if you really look at the amount of money that's being spent, it continues to increase. What we really cut back is a decrease in the increase. You know, when it was authorized 5-6 years ago, it looked like a pretty steady uptick in how much conservation money would be spent. I think we're still spending, again, an increase every year, just not as fast as some people would have hoped.
Okay. The interesting thing that came into the bill that Mr. Lucas made got made permanent was that livestock disaster assistance, and monies have gone out have been very, very significant. Is that causing much heartburn inside the Beltway, really?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, people know that livestock producers don't have a whole lot of way of protecting themselves. You know, there's not a good risk management tool like there is for corn and soybeans and wheat and that, and so they're willing to go ahead and put that out. And yes, I applaud the administration. They put out a heck of a lot of money that was due out for the last 2.5 years, but once they opened it up and they got the application process, it was very efficient how that money flowed out.
And so obviously it'll settle down now that we've got those back years taken care of.
It will settle down, and you know that might have been one of the best things about this Farm Bill was indeed making those disaster programs permanent, because it's just not right farmers suffer this loss for 2.5 years before Congress can get in gear to authorize payments.
You mentioned obviously we've got elections out there not that many months away. In your mind, what are the one or two things you think Congress needs to do more than anything else?
Well, we certainly would think immigration reform is probably at the top of that list. Now, I'm not a personal believer. We're working for it to have, you know, immigration reform overall. Personally, I'm not much of a believer we can actually get that. I think it's just too politically hot. But I think we'll get some changes, and we need them. I think you can make a good case in agriculture that Mr. Obama's edict about deportation just before Christmas really didn't do anything to help us. So I don't think we're getting a lot of our workers coming out of the shadows saying, hey, sign me up, I'm going to stay. So immigration reform would be important. Certainly we got to do something about taxes, but that's a little bit like immigration reform. Would we like to look at overall reform? Yep. Is it going to happen? Not a chance.
Can we at least get some of those tax breaks? I mean, are we going to go all the way to December again on that crazy thing?
Probably.
179?
Probably. You know, potentially you get it done a little earlier. Potentially when it's not an election year, you get Congress that'll go home and late October, early November and not come back. So then you'd get it done. But I can't imagine that in May they're going to say, gosh, let's do that now so farmers know what to do for the next 6 months. So I think it'll probably always be kind of a late decision.
Okay.